All right. Episode 6, Paul. Woo-woo.
After
As
a
they say, as the
hiatus.
kids say, yeah, after a long hiatus
Yeah.
where you had a baby and I had a lot of things happen that weren't involving babies, but
Yeah.
yeah, just had some scheduling issues, but bringing a young life into the world can definitely take some time and yeah. But it's
And
been
my
about a
work's
month for
not
us
done
now.
yet.
Your work's not done yet.
No, not even close.
Yeah, you've got 40 years left
About that, yep.
until he starts taking care of you.
Yeah. We've already been handing him things with his to his left hand.
Perfect. Perfect.
That kid's gonna be my ticket out of this one horse town.
A pretty big town, though.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you got to teach him to switch hit.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you're going to be a lefty, you got to at least switch hit.
Or a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, that's your big ticket. That's plan A. Switch hitting, it has to be plan B, though.
Hey, he's 3 weeks old. There's no time for plan Bs yet. It's all plan A.
Dream big.
That's right. Go big or go home.
That's right. Well, maybe he'll be the next Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee,
I'll take that.
Clayton Kershaw.
Sounds great.
How many dominant left-handers are there in the game these days? I mean, you think about all of the pitching, the top-tier pitching that's in the game these days, and I just named three left-handers. I mean, who are the big guns right-handed from the right-handed side these days?
Verlander.
Obviously.
Kyle Kendrick's not one of them.
He's got some proving left to do.
Matt Harvey.
Yeah, we'll see how he is when he gets back.
Hernandez, Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, he was my number two that I thought of. And then after those two, it's kind of hard
Yeah.
to think of a really dominant right-hander. Like you go down the left-handers, you're like, oh yeah, I got CC. You can throw him in there. I would say Yu Darvish is probably one of the dominant right-handers right now.
And maybe Wainwright can be. I don't know if he's quite there, but he can be.
Yeah, he's won. Has he won a Cy Young? I'd imagine he's winning a
I
Cy
think he
Young right
did.
now. I'll have to check that out. But yeah, if you can throw left-handed, get guys out. You'll always have a job. Who was it? Darren Oliver was still pitching into his 40s as a left-hander out of the bullpen.
Hey, look at Jamie Moyer.
Yeah, pitched
Pitched till he was
till
49.
49.
Yeah. He wore number 50 and he always said he wanted to pitch to his jersey number.
Almost made it.
Now, I never knew if he wanted to pitch to his jersey number in age or miles an hour.
I read somewhere that the slowest pitch that could ever be delivered and still cross home plate for a strike was 55 miles per hour. So he'd have to put another 6 years on to his career to be able to hit 55 miles an hour and still be able to pitch. And if you got a job at 55 miles and at 55 years of age, then kudos to you. My hat's off.
Yeah.
But so speaking of Cole Hamels, did you see that he's got a bum shoulder these days? Hasn't been able to throw much, and they're not exactly sure how long it's going to be until he's back to Cole Hamels.
Did see that, and I was more surprised that he was even throwing the way that he was rather than the setback. The Phillies have a steep climb ahead of them this year, even with having two of the three dominant left-handers that you just mentioned. They really have nothing else. And I really think that Hamels and Lee are going to end up probably losing a good number of 3-2 ball games this year. where they will pitch well and just won't get the offense behind them that they need. Frankly, with the amount of time that's left on Hamels' contract,
how much time is left on Hamels' contract?
Let's strive for accuracy
in everything we do.
That's right. So let's go to Wikipedia. So in 2012, he signed a 6-year contract with a vesting option for 2019. He has 5 years left, maybe six. And I'm totally fine with that. Hamels is, he's been great from the start of his career. He helped them win the World Series. He was 23 or 24 years old.
I have a quick question about Hamels here.
Yeah.
He did kind of have a rough year. Was it 2 years back? Like, had a higher ERA than normal. This was the year that he welcomed Bryce Harper to the big leagues with by plunking him.
Yeah.
That year was a down year for him. Do you have any sort of lingering hesitation about his ability to be the Cole Hamels of old, or you're shaking your head no?
Yeah. No. I really don't. I mean, he had a really bad year in 2009. The Phillies went to the World Series anyway that year and lost to the Yankees. It was mainly because of the Cliff Lee acquisition that they did. And they also had Pedro Martinez in that rotation.
Well, you know, Pedro's a man of the people.
he was better than I would have expected that year.
Yeah, but obviously at the tail end of his career there. But.
Yeah, but Hamels has any adversity he's ever faced, he's always overcome it. So until he doesn't, I'm not going to count him out. But he is the best youngest player that the Phillies have. And not to say he's young, but relatively speaking on that team, he is. So I don't see why they would rush him at all this year. This is not the make or break year for the Phillies. More break than make this year for the Phillies.
Well, more break because of the age of the overall roster. And with all of the moves that were made by Ruben Amaro Jr., this offseason, he seems to think that this might be the Phillies' last best chance, given Utley's age, Rollins' age. You never know what you're going to get out of Howard this year. Lee's not getting any younger. You sign A.J. Burnett. It's no surprise that the Phillies are the oldest team in the league, or at least it seems like they are. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts on is this a make or break year for the Phillies? Is this their last best chance with the core that they have? It seems that the general management might seem to think so.
Best chance to do what?
Make a run at the playoffs? Win a World Series?
I think
clearly, right. I don't think that they have a World Series caliber roster.
No. I think that's out of the question. Make the playoffs? Maybe because of the fact that there are two wild cards now. I don't think they're in the running for the division. I just don't think they have the pitching to do it. Nor do they have the lineup. They don't have the bullpen. They don't have the bench, regardless of the Bobby Abreu signing.
And they don't have the prospects?
Both literally and figuratively, they have no prospects. I mean, they do a great job of finding possible first basemen that are then literally blocked by that anchor at first base now in Howard.
You don't think Howard could have some sort of a rebound year now that he's mostly healthy? I mean, he's got a gap in his swing that's a mile wide. You just start throwing breaking balls from left-handers at him and he can't lay off of them, but he's going to see a lot more at bats from right-handed pitchers. You don't think that there could be some value in having Ryan Howard in the lineup this year?
I think that, first of all, people have to get out of their head that Ryan Howard's going to go back to what he was in 2006, 2007, when he won the Rookie of the Year in 2005. He hit 58 homers in 2006. Like those days are over. When you say rebound year, could he hit 30 homers and drive in 100 or 120 RBI? Yeah, I think he could.
And wouldn't you take that?
I would. I don't. I guess I just. I say he could because he's done it before, but it's been a long time. And it's not like he was very consistent and then suddenly dropped off. Like, it's been a very consistent decline. So the fan in me says, sure, he can do it. But the realist in me looks at the fact that he has declined every single year, unlike Hamels, who has faced adversity and come back and had very strong years. He hasn't done that. He's never shown me that he can change his approach at the plate. And he's never shown me long term that he can rebound from a bad year. So, yes, he can do it. My issue with the Phillies management is continuing to bank on the fact that he could do it, along with other players. Like, can they do it? Sure, but that's not how you build a team. You don't just take a guess and say, well, that might work. That doesn't make sense. So that's why I have my concern. And you don't say that a team that has a bunch of ifs and it might happen and maybe this will work has a chance at a World Series. They don't have a chance to, over the long haul, be better than the Braves or possibly the Nationals. And when I look at the other wild card spots, it's very possible that both wild cards come out of the Central again. So, is it a make or break year? I hope it's a break year, frankly, for the long-term health of the team, because I'm not a fan of the Phillies this year. I'm a fan of the Phillies. I'll be a fan of the Phillies for the rest of my life. So, at some point, they need to cut ties with the past and be ready to move forward and do something different.
Are they, how many years are they away from a total rebuild, in your opinion?
Probably about 2 years ago. I'm serious.
I mean, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah. I mean, after they won the World Series in 2008, they re-signed a number of players to 3-year contracts. They re-signed Victorino. Utley was just at the start of his new contract. They re-signed Ruiz. Like they did all these things, and that was the right thing to do. They didn't give out a number of long-term contracts. And, they just won a World Series and those players are still in their prime. When those contracts run out, which they did in 2010, 2011, once they lost that series to the Cardinals in 2011 so easily after they won 102 games in the regular season, that was the time to say this team's getting older, this team has holes. Yes, they won 102 games, but I mean, there were a lot of things went right for them that year too. So yeah, I think they are a couple years removed from when they should have made some pretty big changes.
Yeah, I was looking at the Ryan Howard contract, trying to get a more realistic prediction from you. But 2 years ago, yeah, I believe that. And to be quite honest, they haven't been good for 2 years either, or the last 2 years either. 500 team 1 year, and they were under 500 last year, if I recall correctly. So I'm just looking at you made mention like of the length of the contracts and who they belong to. Ryan Howard is still signed through 2016.
Yeah, he has
Like,
three more years left.
yeah. Yeah, and a 2017 team option, which I'm sure they'll decline based on. Well, I mean, you would assume they would decline. But Do they blow it up at the end of this year if things don't go well? Or does Ruben Amaro Jr. continue to double down on Rollins, Utley, Hamels, and Lee? I mean, it's a good core to have, but you have nothing surrounding it. I mean, if Cody Ash steps up this year, if Darren Ruff is the guy somewhere, and some pieces come along, maybe you do double down. But I mean, there's just I think like the Phillies have to go into rebuild mode sooner rather than later to be competitive in 2018. Yeah, I mean, the way they're doing it right now, they're not going to be competitive until 2020.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Ruben Amaro was handed a team that had just won the World Series and was in really good shape. And he's made some good moves, but I would say it's 2-1 or 3-1 bad moves to good moves that he's done with this team.
Well, you don't get the nickname Ruin Tomorrow Jr. for lack of examples.
No kidding. So, hopefully, by the time Luke is in first grade, the Phillies will be a playoff contender again. That's my hope.
That's the hope.
Yeah. Just like I'm hoping that I get my college degree before he does.
Yeah, well, all of the contracts from the Braves signings should be up by then. So, I mean, don't you really have to? I mean, if you're the Phillies, don't you really have to be like, okay, that's our next window? I mean, the Braves have gone hog wild signing Freddie Freeman, Craig Kimbrell. They've signed some other. Who else have they signed? But they've really locked down the core of their team, the young core of their team, for the next few years, and it's going to be very difficult for anybody in that division to compete with them over the next course of years. We could see another run from the Braves all of the 90s where they just win division after division and division title, and they're constantly in the playoffs
And lose in the first round.
and losing the first round, which I would be totally okay with. Especially if they lost in the first round of some of the Pirates some of those years. But yeah, I honestly don't see how the Phillies are anything better than a third place team this year. They don't challenge the Nationals. The Nationals are too good, younger, got more of a core, better pitching, better bench, stronger middle infield. Well, maybe not stronger middle infield because that's kind of a slight to Rollins and Utley, but Desmond's no slouch at shortstop. I just think the Nationals are better.
There's no reasonable baseball fan that could disagree. And you know what? I think the Nationals are going to continue holding a grudge against the Phillies for a very long time. The Phillies beat up on them for a long stretch. I think there's definitely a revenge factor there.
They dominate the Nationals when they first kind of moved to DC.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the Phillies did do something this offseason that kind had some consternation within me. I'll give you one guess as to what it is.
Sign Marlon Byrd away.
Well, no, it wasn't Marlon Byrd. It wasn't Marlon Byrd.
AJ Burnett.
Yeah, I would have liked the Pirates to make a better run at AJ Burnett.
It's a lot of money. It is only for 1 year, but I'm really surprised that he wasn't signed. Do you have any
Yeah, I know
thoughts on
he.
why? Do you have any thoughts on why?
Why the Pirates didn't make him run at him?
Or anyone?
Well, the Orioles were interested at one point. I know that much. I think Neil Huntington really believes in the depth of the starting pitching in the system that we have. We've got Tyone coming up, ready to replace him. We've got some pretty strong pitching prospects. And I don't think, not to say that Adrian Burnett would block anybody from coming up, because Tyone's coming up mid-season no matter what. No matter what, he's coming up. So it's, what do we have in Edinson Volquez, who's cheaper than AJ Burnett? Is he our Frank Liriano this year, or is he our Jonathan Sanchez? We'll see. But I think that we've got enough back end rotation depth in the minor leagues that we can fill that fifth spot until Tyone comes up. So I guess the need for Burnett isn't as strong, and especially with the money that the Phillies wanted to give him. But that said, this is the Pirates are a team that really made almost no moves this offseason. And quite frankly, I've read some pundits saying that the Pirates, some believe that the Pirates had the worst offseason this year. And I can see why. We've failed to find a left-handed bat to play first base. We're still looking. And Gabby Sanchez is not the answer at first base. We strike out too much. I mean, strikeouts are up across the league, but we struck out a ton last year. We're asking our pitching staff to do it again, essentially. And there's just been no help. I mean, we lost Morneau, we lost Bird. It's been a little frustrating in a different way from a Pirates fan perspective than it has been this offseason from a Phillies fan perspective. Like, the Phillies, you're just like, why are we even doing any of this? And from the Pirates perspective, it's like, why aren't we doing something?
So let me ask you this. What moves have you seen other teams make that you would have liked to have seen the Pirates be involved in? Or at least
I would have.
try for some of those players?
I mean, I don't think. Well, right field is a revolving door right now with Tabata, Snyder, and Andrew Lambeau maybe vying for some spots. That said, would I wish they had gone out and signed Shin-Soo Choo? No. Do I think signing Nelson Cruz is worth the first round draft pick? No. So what else is out there in trade? Go make a trade. We've got depth in the system. We've got some major league ready young players under team control for a long time. Go out and trade for somebody that's proven and young-ish. It didn't have to be the big free agent signing, but I don't know. Maybe we just believe that the answer is in-house with Gregory Polanco, who, by the way, I can't wait to see come up soon enough. He absolutely destroyed a hanging curveball from Phil Hughes, and it was nice to see him hit a mistake pitch hard. A lot of our guys would just have served that, like our right fielders would have served that into right field for a single.
Yeah.
But to see him drive the ball, that gives me some hope for his future. But first base is where I think we really kind of dropped the ball. And that's the area where we're scouting Mike Karp from the Red Sox, like Ike Davis. We've been rumored with Ike Davis forever now. We let Garrett Jones walk. Not that. I mean, Garrett Jones was a. He was a serviceable player, but he was at least cheap and you could platoon him. And he goes to the Marlins. If you knew you were going to let Morneau walk, why not just re-sign Jones for. Or. Go to arbitration with him?
Do you want Ryan Howard?
If you eat three quarters of his salary, we'll take him.
Yeah.
We don't need anybody else from the left-handed side of the plate that strikes out as much. We've already got Pedro Alvarez filling that role.
So let me ask you this then. I'll kind of ask you the same question you asked me about the Phillies. What do you think their prospects are this year? As far as, do you think they are a playoff team? Do you think they could win their division? Do you think that they are a serious contender for World Series championship this year?
I won't go out and say that they are a division winning team. I think the Cardinals have just done way too much this offseason. They were division winners last year and they've only gotten better. We haven't gotten better. They're relying on a core that's in their prime, and Yadier Molina is one of the best players in the game. They've got strong veteran and up-and-coming pitching. There's really no holes in their lineup. Whereas we've got two, three, if we count shortstop, depending if Jordy Mercer wants to win that position and be a full-time player. Are they a wild card team? I think we're in the same realm as the Nationals and the Reds and the Giants. I think we're clearly a second tier team in the National League this year. So that said, are we better than any of those teams? I think yes, we could be better than some of those teams. Are we going to be better than all of those teams? No, I don't think so. Because, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, and the Braves, they seem like locks almost to make the playoffs. And then there's two spots for maybe six other teams that could be there. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tougher this year than it was last year. That said, if Gerrit Cole comes along and, is an ace, again, some things have to go right for the Pirates to make a deep run in the playoffs or even make the playoffs this year. I mean, people say they're a regression candidate this year, and I see it. They can still have a winning record. They can win 85 games this year, but I think that's the baseline. Anything else on top of that is icing on the cake.
I think that's a realistic view. I wouldn't say that they overachieved last year, but I do think that things were more favorable for them to do what they did last year. And this year will be, it's also tougher just to duplicate that success and what they did. Part of it too, you think about, there are only so many wins to go around and so many losses to go around for every team that wins and other loses, right? So I wonder, looking at it on the other side, are there as many teams to beat up on as badly as there were last year?
I mean, in the NL East, you have the Marlins that you can beat up on. You're going to beat up on the Mets. You're probably going to be able to beat up on the Phillies if you're the Nationals. The Cubs got better this year. The Brewers are getting better with having Ryan Braun back this year. The Reds are, I mean, we came close to splitting with the Reds, even though I think we took the season series. So we're not going to be able to beat up on them. The West has the Rockies and the Padres. And who's the 13? Arizona. Even, I mean, Arizona's making a push, so I think the Nationals have the scheduling advantage. If it comes down like everyone's an 85 win team between the Nationals, the Pirates, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, just because the Nationals play in a weaker division, I think they come out.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we'll see. And I think that one of the shows that we do prior to the start of the season. When's the season start? 31st?
Yeah, I think so. That Monday.
So we'll need to have a predictions episode.
Think it'd be our next episode. Let's
Sounds good.
get them together. Speaking of predictions, I got my Baseball America yesterday. The newest, hottest, freshest.
Nice.
And they had some really interesting prediction sections, and I'm not going to go through them because all of them, or at least tell you who they picked, because that's why they printed, they want you to pay for it. But some of the categories they had out here were pretty interesting, and one of them, which I want to pose, is what's the going to be the biggest storyline of the 2014 season, in your opinion?
I think that the Derek Jeter farewell tour won't be the biggest story, but it will be a story throughout the year. Because, not to say he's the best player of this generation, but when you combine what he has done in his career, especially early in his career, the fact that he plays on the Yankees, the fact that really anything involved with the Yankees tends to be a production, for better or worse. And the fact that, Jeter is pretty universally respected. I think back to, the things that a lot of teams did for Bobby Cox when his last year was winding down. I know most teams, I think it was actually all teams but the Marlins, being the cheap team that they
Frugal.
are. Yes, frugal, so that's a nice way to put it. I keep trying to watch my language now that I have a newborn.
Choose your words much more carefully. Yeah.
They
They're so
all,
impressionable at that age.
yeah, no kidding. Every team did something for him and also for Chipper Jones, whether it was like I know that the Phillies had some artists do like paintings of each of them. They presented them the last time that the Phillies and Braves played at Citizens Bank Park. I can see things like that happening throughout the year with Derek Jeter. So I think that'll be an interesting story and something that will be happening throughout the year.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think Derek Jeter retirement tour is the big storyline, in-season storyline for me. He's an institution. Clearly one of the most respected players in the game. 3,000 hits. No doubt first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he's not one of the, if he's not unanimously elected to the Hall of Fame, that will be a surprise to me.
Isn't he the
Although
first?
there is somebody gonna, there's gonna be some stick in the mud out there that's not gonna vote for him, but he's as close to a sure thing as there is.
Isn't he the first Yankee to get to 3,000 hits as a Yankee?
He might be,
I think he is.
or maybe done it all as a Yankee, collected 3,000 hits as a Yankee. Because Ichiro, did he get to 3,000 hits as a Yankee? I don't know. But there's, it's some sort of trivia along with that. But yeah, you can say what you want about Derek Jeter's decline in at least defensive productivity over the course of the last couple of years, and but there's no more respected clubhouse leader than there was in Derek Jeter, and the game is better with Derek Jeter, to be quite honest, and he will rightly deserve all the accolades that come to him throughout the year.
Yeah, for sure.
Who knows? Maybe he'll get grooved a fastball right down the middle of the plate at the All-Star game, and he'll be the All-Star game MVP, a la Cal Ripken.
Yep. I would say Derek Jeter is currently playing at a higher level than Cal Ripken did towards the end of his career.
Yeah. Well, Cal Ripken, so many games he probably just wears down after a while. Derek, his body's broken down in another way. Injuries start to come up on him, and hasn't been able to keep on the field. And players like that know when it's time. You don't want to go out Willie Mays style and So, as much as you and I both don't like the Yankees, I think losing one of the great, at least ambassadors and spokespeople for baseball, one of the most highly recognizable figures our game has, certainly is the biggest storyline of the year for me.
Yeah, I agree. I've always liked Derek Jeter. He's probably been one of the few Yankees that I've really liked at all for the past 15 years, I would say.
You know, I'd also like to see. So, the question I actually had on our production notes is, whose farewell tour are you looking forward to the most? Are you looking forward to Jeter's, or are you looking forward to Bud Selig's?
I'm looking
And
forward
you
to
could
Bud
take
Selig's just
that any
because.
way you want.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Bud Selig's because that means he's gone.
Yeah, both for different reasons.
Yeah.
Explain your feelings on the Bud Selig farewell tour.
Do we know who the new commissioner is going to be?
I don't think that they've really made any mention of it.
Or any rumors or
No, I haven't heard anything really.
do you think it's going to be Ruben Amaro?
Ruben Amaro. Ruben, he'll be ruined the game tomorrow, Junior, at that point in time.
I don't know.
But yeah.
I don't feel that the game has evolved in as positive a way as it could have under Bud Selig. And I think he viewed the steroid issue as just a pain and an inconvenience and a distraction. When I think a true leader looks at something like that as an opportunity to do something really good. And I never thought he seized the opportunity.
Yeah, and I've sort of explained my feelings on Bud Selig in prior episodes, and his tour to me, I think, will be him going to ballparks, and the fans will be obliged to stand, and there'll be a lot of polite clapping. Because there is such a mixed bag with his tenure. Baseball's obviously a very popular game. Playoffs are expanded. So there's been some changes to the way that for in player protection and getting calls right this year. But for everything that's good that's happened under his tenure, there's been something very, very bad.
Well, and also look at when these things are happening. They're not happening when the public feels they should. They're happening like 5 years later. It's always a prolonged reaction. And finally, it's almost to the point when people stop even thinking about it or talking about it that baseball's like, okay, we're going to do it now. That's the frustrating part to me. There isn't like proactive leadership with him. There never has been.
Not to compare apples and oranges, but I'm going to. You look at football, realize that there's a major issue with players sustaining head injuries. So what do? They implemented rules in very quick fashion that protected players from receiving blows to the head, and you stopped targeting players from those sorts of blows. And the game changed, but the game needed to change in that respect. But like you said, it's everything that's a drawn out production under Selig's tenure. I mean, you look how long it took to get instant replay this year. Like either throw the book at it, just review everything, or just nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're gonna have this phased approach. We just want to see how it works with home runs first, and that only cl you know you only clamor for more. Like, just if you're gonna do it, just do it, and then work out the kinks later. Don't half-ass it. Oops. Watching word choice, but still,
Yeah.
that's how I feel.
I know it's very frustrating.
So, So if we could compare and contrast the two farewell tours, I think people will feel more heartfelt emotion on wanting to applaud the accomplishments of Derek Jeter when he comes to their town, as opposed to Bud Selig, will you stand out of, well, I have to respect the man because he's the commissioner, sort of deal.
The way I would put it is, with Derek Jeter, they'll have the party while he's there. With Bud Selig, they'll have the party after he leaves.
That's right. Party on.
Yep.
That's. I mean, I didn't figure we'd have too much of a dissenting opinion on Bud Selig's farewell tour, but he is the he's the one you know, and whoever comes in after them, who knows what they're gonna do with the game? Could be something could go a totally different direction. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So, a couple farewell tours. I think those are the two biggest storylines for me. I'd also like to see how, if the Dodgers can live up to all their spending. There's a couple of different teams that should rebound this year. They couldn't possibly be as bad as they were last year. Like, I'm looking for the Giants to rebound. I'm looking for
The Angels.
the Angels to rebound. Yeah, even the Blue Jays to be a bit more competitive. And sticking with the AL East, the Orioles have finally found some some able-bodied free agents that they wanted to sign.
Meet their strict criteria.
Yeah, something like that. So they go out and they sign Ubaldo Jimenez, and they go out and sign Nelson Cruz. And Nelson Cruz is actually taking a lot less than. Was it the qualifying offer? He's taking $8 million for a single year, and the Orioles are willing to give up a second round pick to sign him too. So, tactical mistake by Nelson Cruz. I'd have to say, you couldn't call it anything other than that, on his part.
Yeah, maybe the market was just really soft for him.
Yeah, nobody wants mid-30s outfielder with limited defensive ability. And you don't know what you're going to get for him, and you have to give up a draft pick. It's like, if he's like Raul Ibanez in a couple of years, you know what I'm saying? It's like you probably have to DH him. He's not going to add anything defensively for you. But the Orioles found the cash and decided the second round pick wasn't that important. I'm not surprised that they moved for Ubaldo Jimenez, but I don't know if Ubaldo Jimenez is the right fit for Baltimore, and I'm not quite sure he's the right fit for the American League East.
No.
I think he's going to get rocked,
Yep.
especially at Camden Yards, where the ball's not going to hold. The ball's not going to. The park's not going to hold him. But that said. I was reading some analysis of the deal that over the next course of years, he only really needs to have like third starter numbers, and it's worth the contract for them. And you think about it, you're like, is Ubaldo Jimenez a third starter? And you're like, yeah, he's probably a third starter. But the Orioles need him to be much more than that this year for them to contend.
I had mentioned it on a previous episode. Ubaldo Jimenez is still living off of that season where he had 15 wins before the All-Star break. So people may think he's a one or a two, but he's not. You can't be judged on just that small. It's a little bit like what I was saying before about Ryan Howard. You can't just take a small section of time and say, well, he did it once, so he can do it again. You have to look at what his career looks like. That's not his career. His career, he's a mid-range starter on an okay team. He's not a difference maker, and he's certainly not a one or a two on a playoff team.
Which is what the Orioles are hoping him to be. They're betting on the second half of last year's performance where he was like that, as opposed to the other 3 years he was with the Indians where he was not that. And to give up a first round pick to buy that uncertainty that comes with it. I mean, I understand why the Orioles had to do it, because their pitching staff was atrocious last year. And you would figure with the money they're spending and the draft pick that they're giving up that they would want something with a little bit more stability attached to it, but
But it's the Orioles.
yeah.
It's very much an Orioles move.
Rolling the dice. The Orioles are. I'm not sure what I make of the Orioles this year. They're again one of those teams that could really surprise some people, or they could just the bottom can fall out, and I wouldn't be surprised either way. At least, I mean, and from an organizational perspective, if it doesn't work out for them this year, they really kind of set themselves back a couple of years with the picks that they've had to give up. That said, they might go for broke and sign Irvin Santana also, who seems to be more of a sure thing than Yubaldo Jimenez is. Yubaldo Jimenez is probably going to get more money. But, I mean, the big winner in all of this is the Cleveland Indians. They get the Orioles' first round draft pick, and they don't have to pay Yubaldo Jimenez. So they got exactly what they wanted. So.
It looks like the Orioles are trying to corner the market on Santanas.
They could be. Boy. What other Santana do they have?
A minor league deal with Johan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Well, they signed him to a minor league deal.
They probably tried to trade for Carlos Santana from the Indians, too.
They probably did. They're like, you bought a Jimenez and Carlos Santana? He's he come? No? No? Okay.
Now batting, Santana. Now pitching, Santana.
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard that when Santana was thrown for some teams that it didn't look good. But the Orioles decided to roll the dice and take a flyer on him, sign him to a minor league deal, knowing that he's not going to be ready until May. Again.
Maybe they'll get Santana to sing or perform the national anthem before a game, too.
Oh, shoot. Speaking of which, this is completely off topic, but did you see that the Texas Rangers are going to sell Russell Wilson jerseys
Not
and
that they're
number?
going to, but that they did start selling them online, and they were the number one selling jersey in his first day at camp.
Wow. I mean, they've made their money back in the Rule 5 pick many times over by now. What a shrewd business move. Wow. I from a baseball fan perspective, I'm like, the Rangers are just making a mockery of this Rule 5 draft and such, and those were my sentiments at the time. And it's like, oh, the Rule 5 draft isn't even important. Shoot, if you're making money doing something like that, then I guess that's one way to exploit the Rule 5 draft. Good for the Rangers for seeing the opportunity to cash in. They need to pay Shin-Soo Choo, you know.
They need to get the money somewhere. They're going to need it for Michael Young's retirement ceremony, too.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of the Rangers, did you see that Ian Kinsler just kind of laid, just put the, was it John Daniels? Is he the GM? I think that's John Daniels, the GM at Texas. Yeah, he just put him on blast. He's just like just really just kind of like laying into him, like talking
Really?
about his time in Texas. And then he goes and says when the story comes out where he made those remarks, he's like, "Oh, I was misinterpreted."
Just like someone's Twitter account gets hacked when they say
Oh
something they
yeah, like
regret.
LeBron James' Twitter got hacked that one time. Quote
Twitter.
unquote hacked.
Yeah.
Right.
Misinterpreted.
Yeah. Terrible. Come up with something better than that, or own it.
Seriously.
Own that you said it. Own that you were unhappy in Texas. Whatever. I mean.
All right, so Andrew, this will be trivia question number 4. You're currently 2-1. Stumped you in episode 5. I think this is an interesting question. I have pretty good faith that you're going to get this one right. What MLB player has the most career total bases? And this is multiple choice. I can give you multiple choice if you like. So your options are Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, or Willie Mays.
You would put Babe Ruth in here again just to see if I would probably bite on Babe Ruth 2 times and be
Maybe.
wrong, or that Babe Ruth is actually the one that is the correct answer.
Possibly.
So it's more not it's more of a question of, because I don't know the answer is the truth. So this is more of a question about what would Paul Bear do?
Know your judge.
So it's either well, let's see. Hank Aaron, legitimate, quote unquote, home run king of all time. Barry Bonds, asterisk, home run king. So those are a lot of bases. Willie Mays, 600 home run club also. I don't think it's Babe Ruth. I'm going to go with Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron is correct.
Yeah. I remember that, Hank Aaron, even for being the home run king, he didn't have like a season where it was just all like he didn't have like a monster home run year. And to have like that kind of power over the course of a career means you probably have to get quite a few doubles along with it. So that was my thinking.
He had
So yeah, a lot of extra base hits, I would imagine, from him.
6,856 total bases in his career.
And that's tops of them all. So you would put Babe Ruth on there twice to see if I would bite on Babe Ruth twice.
You know, one of these days, he's going to be the answer.
So that's it for episode 6. Talk to walk ratio back after a hiatus. It was good talking with you again, Paul, and talking ball, and spring training has started, and there's live baseball, sights and sounds, and plenty of on-field stuff to talk about. Have a better idea of how some teams are shaping up and what holes there are in rosters. An idea of what teams are looking to be a bit more legit than not. Get some first impressions from some imports like Tanaka. And spring training is just a good time to get to see the future of your team as well as the present of your team. So always a unique time of year and a unique time to be thinking and talking about baseball. Glad I got some time to kind of wrap up the rest of the off-season news with you and start of the spring training news, and there'll be more of it. We're looking forward to having some predictions on our next episode, and we'll come with those, and it should be one of our best episodes yet. So, Paul, if you've any last words,
It's just great
let's hear them.
to be back. And I look forward to our predictions, our little prediction segment. I think you and I are going to have some bets with the Phillies and the Pirates too, which I look forward to. But yeah, it's good to be back. Good to be off the hiatus. Thanks, Andrew, and thanks, everyone. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.